Christ came to make peace. To make peace through the blood of his covenant. Covenant is always cut. It says make a covenant in the Hebrew in our translation. But it is literally cut a covenant. Always cut a covenant. Because blood is shed whenever a covenant is ratified. Christ came to make peace through the blood of his covenant. Peace with God. Then peace with men. Those who have known this peace with God are no longer troublemakers, but they have become peacemakers. Blessed or happy are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Not only are they the children of God, but they are acknowledged or called to be God's children. Now, who calls them his children? Well, God himself, and then others as well. God shall own them as his children, call them his children, and others will recognize and acknowledge them to be God's children when they begin to see that they are giving themselves to peacemaking. There was a soldier, a big man. In fact, he was a prize fighter. Before he became a Christian, he was a prize fighter. And when he was converted, he was made a laughingstock by everyone. For God delivered that man from himself and his sin and brought him into the covenant, into the kingdom, unto Christ by faith, that he might believe in him. But he became the laughingstock of the whole crew. At the mess or the dining room, they threw scalding soup on him one day, scalding him so badly that he ripped off his clothes to get rid of the soup. But God had given him grace, and he was so self-possessed and remained self-possessed that he could say, I am a Christian and I must expect that I be treated like this as the Master was treated, so will I be treated. And his patience and his peaceable way convinced those other unbelievers that he was indeed a true child of God. Who could explain such patience and peaceful disposition under such enormous scoffing and rudeness and persecution? Now, why are peacemakers called the sons of God, the children of God? It's because in the work of making peace, they are very like God, like his image, like his similitude. They resemble him, and they have a heart like his heart that feels what he feels and works for what he works. And they've understood the very heart of God himself, which was to make peace through the blood of the covenant. Well, let me first of all explain the text. This has several points, and then let me try and apply the text. Who is it that are called children of God? Of course, it's the peacemakers. Peacemakers are called God's children. God owns them as his children, acknowledges them as his children, the peacemakers. And others do the same, quite often, not always, but but often. By natural birth, we are not children of God. You see, that God is the creator of all, but he's not the father of all, not in this intimate sense of which Christ was speaking. All men since the fall are by nature children of the devil. They're of their father, the devil, not God. God is not their father. He's not in all their ways. The Apostle Paul says that we were once children of wrath, even as others, until God's grace came. Then we were transformed. Let me read to you from Ephesians chapter 2. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. Maybe I should even go back one verse to the first verse of chapter 2. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation, our way of life, in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, that is the hinge on which everything in Scripture turns. But God, I may have said it to you before, I say it now. I think there are too many clubs and organizations, but if I was ever going to have a club or an organization, it would be the But God Club. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherein he loved us even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together by Christ, with Christ. By grace are ye saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. But that's not our natural condition. By nature, we are children of wrath, like others, even we who have become by God's grace. But God, the hinge, has changed everything. So all men since the fall are by nature children of the devil. If you and I are ever called God's children, if God ever owns us as his offspring, we must first be taken out of the devil's family. You are to renounce and to forsake your former ways, your old ways of living, your former friends, your old friends, even your family sometimes, if that be necessary. And you must ultimately renounce your father, the devil. Then you can rightly say, my father, of God, that he is my father. But do not call yourself God's child, not while you live for the devil. Now, you may be highly religious, but don't call yourself a child of God while you're living like the devil, even if you have religious trappings tacked on. For by natural birth, you and I are not the children of God, but the devil. Now, if you are not the child of God, then how? If you're not the child of the devil, then how are you the child of God? How do you become children of God? Do you will yourself? No. This is why we are so much afraid, not afraid, that's the wrong sense, but so much repudiate free will. Yes, there is a free will in a sense, within its bounds. Always limited. Always, as it were, within the realm of which we live. The wicked have free will. to will sin. They don't have any power to do the good, to do spiritually good, but they have power to do the evil. But how do you and I become children of God? The Father has one natural, true, only begotten Son. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the eternal Son of the Father. God the Son, we call Him. You and I become the children of God. How? How do we? By adoption. Through the grace of God in Christ, we are adopted from the family of the devil into God's own family. You cannot make yourself a member of God's family. No one else can make you a member of God's family. Your mother can't do it. Your father can't do it. Your pastor can't do it. Your minister can't do it. Your baptism can't do it. You must be adopted by God in order to become His child. A child of the Father in heaven. And then you can pray as you do, Our Father, which art in heaven. Through faith. Through union with Jesus Christ by faith. Faith is a uniting grace. Faith is a receiving grace. And you must receive Christ. You must be, as it were, united to Christ. Well, let me read again from Galatians and the 4th chapter. And picking up at verse 4, I think it is. But when the fullness of time, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive what? The adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth His Spirit, the Spirit of His Son, into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. That's the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of His Son. Wherefore ye are no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. This is how we become the sons of God, the children of God, by the adoption of the Father into His own family. Now, maybe some of you are adopted. It's a precious thing that God sometimes allows us to be adopted. That is, we are taken into another family. It's done officially. It's done very carefully. It's done very thoughtfully. We are chosen. We are a chosen child of another. But you also must be born again. Born from above, maybe a better translation. So that God in His predestinating love is not only a one who can make you His child, but has given you new birth. Not just, what we call it, an official act of adoption, but even making us and birthing us, as it were, as His child. What a wonderful thing. You've had a birth in the church. It's a thing to be thanked God for, and to give Him praise, and look to Him to continue the life of that little one and to bring that little one into the kingdom. But let me read to you what it says in chapter 1 of Ephesians and the 4th verse and following. According as He had chosen us, let me go back to verse 3, I think. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as He had chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame. Without blame. What a dignity has been given to us as the children of God, that we would be without blame before Him, in love having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to His good pleasure, to the good pleasure of His will, and to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. So a wonderful act has been done by God, and He has become, by adoption, our Heavenly Father. But also, He has given to us new life and a new birth, as it were, so that we are born into the kingdom also. And we read in John chapter 1 and verse 12. Well, the verses 12 and 13. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power, authority, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born. Born. Not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but born of God. So we are both adopted and born into His family as His children. What a wonderful thing. God's family grows in the soil of His predestinating love. That's where He's planted His people. Out of His sovereign electing love and grace, He's planted us in the soil of love. And if you are God's child, it's because God, in His eternal purpose and love, has adopted you, called you, given you a new life, a new relation, a new birth. So, both by adoption and a new birth, or a birth from above, we are in the family of God. And it says, doesn't it? Blessed. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Happy are the peacemakers. That word blessed in the Greek means happy. Now it's a profound kind of happiness, a deep-seated happiness, so that it is often and best translated perhaps by the word blessed. Blessed to be the sons of God, to be the children of God. And how can those who are the children of God, who are acknowledged by God to be His children, not be happy? The child of God. The offspring of God. I say a dignity is given to us, but a freedom. A freedom from sin and guilt. And a strength and ability that they never had before, to walk with the Lord and to do His will, to commune with Him, to serve the Lord. How can the children of God not be happy? God is their Father. He loves His children. He's patient with their weakness. He provides for their needs. He protects and defends them against their enemies. He teaches them His holy law. He begins to teach us the way to live, what pleases Him according to His law. And therefore we can obey. Not perfectly. No one has ever obeyed perfectly but the Lord Jesus. And yet we do begin to obey. And He corrects and disciplines. We spoke about this Wednesday night, how He sometimes chastens His children when they stray from Him, correcting them in love. Whom He loves, He disciplines, He chastens. We forget that, don't we? He speaks to us as sons, not as aliens, but as sons, as His own dear children, when He disciplines us, chastens us. If you're God's child, it's only because He has purposed to adopt you and to give you new life. have a family. You have a huge family. You have all the children of God as your family. Brothers and sisters. Older and younger. Weaker and stronger. Joyful or sad. They are your own family. And he frees them. He frees them, first of all, from their former family, the devil. And he gives them liberty, the glorious liberty of the children of God. That is what belongs to the children of God. Liberty, like no one else has. Not liberty to sin, that's license. But liberty from the bondage and the curse of the law. And because of our sin, freedom from the curse of the law. Freedom to be able to do what is good without it being a heavy burden that weighs us down. The freedom of God's own child. There was a book written by Samuel Bolton. The title is almost a full explanation of the book. Not quite, but almost. And what is the title of the book? The True Bounds of Christian Freedom. Freedom. Christian freedom. You see, it has boundaries. You don't do this. No, you're a child of God. You do not behave this way. Not any longer. It's not the way we behave in this family. We don't do these things. We do these things. But the true bounds of Christian freedom. It's a book worth getting and reading. Because of this, the family connection, we have become heirs. H-E-I-R, not A-I-R-S, but H-E-I-R. Heirs of a great and glorious inheritance. Wow. In fact, we are joint heirs, co-heirs with Christ. We have the same inheritance that He has. The same family. The same blessings are promised to us. God will give His children a share in all that He's given His only begotten Son. All the promises are ours. And God keeps His promises. I think I should stop and read Romans 8:17 so that you think I haven't made this up. Sometimes people begin to wonder if these preachers don't overstate things, but I have not overstated it. Let me read to you what it says in Romans 8 and verse 17. And if children... Well, let me go back. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, H-E-I-R-S, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Yes, sufferings. We're called to suffer. Every one of us will go to heaven not without any suffering, but through suffering. But yet it will be glorious, even the sufferings that we bear for Christ, for His kingdom. Such privileges as well as promises are the blessing and the happiness of the children of God. Wow. What privileges He's given His Son. We have the same privileges. We have the same promises and the same privileges. Now the duties of children, I don't want to dwell on this, but let me quickly mention those. There is the reverence for God that a child has for his father. The fear of the Lord, beginning of wisdom. Not the slavish fear that we sometimes think of, but that reverential fear of God. And we will walk worthy of His name, pleasing Him. And there will be zeal for our Father's honor and cause and kingdom and family. And we will become like Him more and more. We want to be like our Father. Don't children want to be like their father? Unless there's a terrible father. They all do. And we want to be, resemble our Father in heaven. Maybe that's a blessing rather than a duty, but I think I could well state it under duties. We want to be like our Father, and we seek to be like our Father. Well, that's the explanation of the text. Let me apply the text. Let me ask you this question. It's the question that needs to be asked. Are you a child of God? What evidence is there that you have been adopted and born again, that you are in the family? Now, if you're not a child of God, it's best that you discover it now, not when it's too late. And if you are a child of God, then a close examination will only increase your assurance and your happiness, therefore. To look very carefully into this matter, if it's true that you are a child of God, will increase your assurance because you'll be more confident about it. And you'll be happier, therefore. Assurance brings happiness, doesn't it? Now, here are some things that a Christian, a child of God, does. All who profess to be Christ's children are not Christ's children. All who say they believe do not savingly believe. Now, the child of God, first of all, is one who has faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and in no one else, and in nothing else, but in Christ alone. They look to Christ, are united to Christ, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation. You have to know something, you have to feel something, and you have to do something. That's what faith is all about. Knowing who the true God is and who His Son is, the Savior of sinners. But not just knowledge. There's affection. That you commit yourself, as it were. That you long to be with Him. And you do, as those who believe. And not just long to be with Him, but you will do what you must do in trusting Him, in committing to Him. So faith has many parts, several parts anyway. But it is basically a receiving grace, a receptive grace, if you please. A grace that is received by faith. We receive whom? Christ. And receive the benefits of Christ. When we receive Christ, we receive the benefits. And take them to ourselves. Are united to Christ, therefore, and have all the blessings that Christ offers. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, says 1 John 5:1. Whoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Already born of God. Yet the devils believe, do they not? And they're not saved. So what is it to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Not what so many do think it is. It's much more. Nothing you can do. God can give you faith, can grant you faith, but not you working it up and doing this and doing that and doing the other and calling it faith. That's not what faith is. It's not a general faith about Jesus and the facts about His life and death and even about His resurrection. Rather, it is turning from all others to the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Faith is a whole soul commitment to Christ in all the glory of His person and all the perfection of His work. I think that's from Professor Murray. Redemption accomplished and applied. The chapter on faith. It's a whole soul, an entire person turning to Christ in all the glory of His person and all the perfection of His work. And no other, to no other. How could it be if it's a whole soul turning? It must be altogether Him and nothing else, no one else. So, do you believe? That is what a Christian does. He believes on the Lord Jesus, and he's born of God. But also, freedom from the love and dominion of sin is a sign that you are God's child. Because you've been freed from the dominion of sin, the love of sin. Are you perfect? No. Let me read to you what it says in 1 John 5 and verse 9, or 18, and then chapter 3 and verse 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Does that mean he's perfect? Without sin? Sinless? No. It's saying he does not make it his practice. It's not his way of life. We don't do that in this family. That's not the way we behave. Not as the children of God. We have a whole different way of behavior. Because we are children of God. We do not commit sin and practice the sin. Then righteousness is an evidence that you are a child of God. Everyone that doeth righteousness is what? Born of God. 1 John 2:29. So we will behave in a right way, in a righteous way. Then there will be love for your fellow Christians, for the family of God, for His children. We know we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. 1 John 3:14. If you're struggling with assurance, go to 1 John. There's no other place that deals with assurance like this as fully as 1 John. What did I just say? Did you hear it? The love of your brethren, the love of your brothers and sisters is a sign that you are a child of God and in His family. This is a way you can know you've passed from death to life because you love the brethren. And the love of your Father is another clear sign that you're His child. You love Him because of who He is, because He's holy, because He chastens us when we walk wrong and disobedience. Many become bitter when God afflicts them. They begin to deny Him. But the children of God love their Father even when He afflicts them. Ultimately, they come back to Him in love, even though He chastens them and scourges them. Sometimes He must do that because He loves us. Only those He loves does He chasten. So if we love God, that's a sign that we are His child. And you will have the peace of God. And you will become peacemakers. Another evidence that you are the child of God. Will you do it perfectly? No. None of this can we do perfectly. But are you at peace with God and with others? Or do you make trouble? Or do you make peace? Are you at war with heaven? Are you fighting God? Are you at war with others? Then you're at war with your own soul, with your own conscience. You're fighting yourself. And you're at war with God's holy law. If you are at war with God, it would be wicked of me to try and plant the white flag of peace in your heart. Not while you're fighting God. Not while you're abusing God and, and in every way turning from Him rather than to Him. That would be wicked for me to give you the white flag of peace in your hearts. I would be a false prophet. I would be one of those who cries peace, peace, when there's no peace. Because you're fighting God. You're at war with Him. But I invite you to come this day and lay down your arms and surrender to the only God of heaven and earth and to His Son Jesus Christ, who is the only Savior of sinners, and be at peace. Sinner, come today. Today is the hour of salvation. Someone prayed eloquently this morning about the todayness that needs to be there. Not waiting, but coming now, while it is called today, and be at rest. Indeed, rest your whole soul's weight on Jesus Christ. Trust Him, and trust Him alone as your Savior. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord. Return unto the Lord. And He will have mercy upon him and to our God. For He will abundantly pardon. Not those who fight Him, but those who turn, lay down their arms, and come back to the Savior. Repentance is needed every day. Even judicious Richard Hooker, a high Episcopalian, knew that and has a word about it in his treatise on justification by faith alone. The Christian life, he says, is daily repentance. Yes, it is. And we must come repenting, laying down our arms, surrendering. And there will be mercy for all who come. There will be pardon, yes. And there will be peace for those who humbly, repentantly come and believe. So fall down now before your Sovereign, the God of heaven and earth. Cast yourself on His mercy and find peace for your souls. Then you will cease to be a troublemaker. And you'll cease to trouble your soul. You will become a peacemaker and happy and blessed. How happy, how blessed you shall be, for you shall be called the children of God. He will own you as His child, call you His own child, the child of God. Stand together for prayers. Christ alone is our confidence, our hope, our confident expectation for mercy, for peace, that we would become, through a relationship with Him that has brought peace from Him, through Him who has brought peace into this world through His death. And we become then the peacemakers and are acknowledged to be His children, having settled that issue of peace with God. And yet we need to continue to find that peace through repentance, humbling ourselves, crying to God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Grant it to each of us, according to your grace in Christ. We pray it in His name. Amen.